Life is so much more than a diagnosis. It's about sharing time with those you love, hanging with friends who lift you up, and experiencing all those moments that bring you joy. All hits, no skips. Learn more about Kisqali Ribociclib 200 milligrams at KISQALI.com and talk to your doctor to see if Kisqali is right for you. So long live singing to the oldies, jamming out to something new, and everything in between.
Good morning and welcome to At Home with Roby. I'm Patrick McIsaac from Roby Commercial and Services, along with Trent Hasten from the Roby family of companies. We are your hosts here every Sunday, 9 to 10 on WBT 1110 99.3.
Patrick, thanks for your excellent interlude. Man,
you're welcome.
You got it going on.
Just got to get all that stuff out there. We got to get all the Instagram.
I really get
Facebooks
excited on the second, third, and fourth segment when you tell everybody where to find us.
Yeah, they got to know, man.
Because sometimes I feel lost.
You're looking for Instabook?
No, I just feel lost and I need reassurance.
Okay. Me too, man. Me too.
Man, I read an article in Axios sent it out talking about teen depression and stuff. Cause of smartphones and all this stuff. It was tough, man. It's hard world that we did not grow up in.
No, I mean, I always, when you bring up stuff like that, have you seen the social media experiment? I think you had seen that.
I have not.
Oh, it's tough.
Man, I mean, it's just, you feel for these folks. We're not addicted. I'm not addicted because I didn't grow up with it. But fortunately, our kids don't spend a ton of time on the phone. That's good. But, you know, I used to lay under the dining room table and have the phone cord wrapped around four chair legs and romance all night when I was 14. I guess that's my version.
We've talked about that before, man. If you had, like, at that age, if you had your own line, do you remember that?
I didn't have my own line.
Come on, man. I didn't either.
My line was 3992189. That was owned by Ron Haston.
I didn't either, but some of my buddies did. And I was like, that was legit because you could get on the phone and, you know, your parents could pick up the phone and listen to what you're saying, but not if you got your own line.
Yeah. I need to tell my kids that.
That was a big deal.
Your parents could pick up another phone and listen to your conversation. Hit mute.
And have no
clue. Hold mute down. You couldn't even permanently press mute. Yeah. You had to hold it.
So you didn't really know.
You let that thing off when you're sneezing. You caught.
They got
Who's
one
on
those,
the phone?
They
Remember
got
that?
One of those buttons over
That's
here.
That's crazy. Prank I call. Hadn't thought about this.
I didn't either until you brought that up.
That is unbelievable. My mom had a wall. Her kitchen phone was on the one I used to take to the dining room. It was on the wall for a long time.
Yeah.
But we redid her house. Andrew Roby redid her house last couple years ago. And I think she got rid of the wall that the wall phone was on.
No phone, Jack. No wall.
No more phone.
All right. So I'm going to put you on the spot here a little bit. So we're pre-recorded. This is the Sunday before the national championship game, which would be played on Monday. Who is in it?
I don't even know what the bracket looks like, man. And I'm going to go with my heart because it ain't going to cost me anything. Go Heels!
I also have UNC winning it all.
I think they could play Duke in the finals. Is that right?
I think so.
I mean, I don't think Duke has it this year, but they could be – they come alive, you know. Shire, their coach, has that Mike Krzyzewski pedigree. But you think Clemson – played Carolina last week, beat them. We're talking, man, why are you bringing up this stuff? I'm trying to live life. Viva la vida.
Why are you bringing up old stuff?
Man.
You are correct. UNC can play Duke in the championship. I have UNC playing Purdue.
Oh, wow. Okay.
And Purdue
has the
Zach Edey.
Best player in college basketball, they say.
He reminds me of, like, Shaq back when he was in college.
So I will say, since you bring this up, he reminds you of Shaq. Okay. Is he a sheriff? No. Because Shaq's a sheriff.
Right.
So Reagan, a couple weeks ago, hit me up. Her birthday was on Friday. Knox's birthday was on Sunday, 2 days apart.
Oh, you're right.
And she said, hey, back before we had kids, we used to go to the ACC tournament basketball tournaments. You know, went to Tampa, went to Greensboro, went to Atlanta, generally went in Charlotte. And we would always go to the hotel that the players were staying at a couple hours early, and the band would be there, and they would have a send-off party. So about Wednesday before they played in Charlotte,
cool.
Reagan says, hey, I looked up where Carolina's staying. It's the Uptown Marriott. And they have three rooms left. What do you think? We go Friday night and go to the send-off party Saturday and hang around the hotel, have dinner and maybe the kids, walk around uptown, do a little staycation. Maybe the kids will get some autographs. So we got, man, it was so fun. We got, superstars. RJ Davis, Coach Hubert Davis, assistant coach. My hero growing up was a guy named Jeff Lebo. Got all these autographs on Ford's Carolina shirt. Something real special. Just trying to put myself in a 9-year-old shoe, thinking about how cool that would be. But that was Friday night when we were just hanging around the hotel, and then we went to the send-off party Saturday. Went home and watched the game with some of our neighbors, but it was a lot of fun. Just something real special. And I want to just give my wife kudos here on the radio, because that's something that I would never ever cross mind, like aha moment. What about doing this and making this memory? But man, the kids loved it. You know, if you want to make Tar Heel fans for life, that's how you do it, buddy.
That's it.
And then Knox had his birthday party the following Sunday, and we gave him a Carolina UNC Tar Heel football uniform with the helmet. And last night he come running downstairs with his helmet and his uniform on. He said, "It's all Tar Heels." He's four. I said, dude.
I will pill up my mom. I had one of those uniforms that somebody gave me when I was a kid. Well, I probably got it when I was 13. It was a real uniform. It was like, you know, humongous on me. My mom found it recently in the last couple of years, and I put it on. I took a picture of it. But
Still humongous.
No, it's pretty tight now. But that's really cool, man. I saw a picture of Ford with, I think, Elliot Cadeau.
And we were talking, Cormac Ryan. I mean,
we were talking about, like, Elliot looks small on TV. But when you see him up, he's like 6'2", big.
The guys, kudos to Hubert Davis, their coach, and these young men. They were so generous, so nice. Just the presence of it was just so cool. Such a great memory. So now I think we have a new tradition, just like Monster Jam and the beach and this and that. So we got Danny Goldrick when we return, entrepreneur. Can't wait to hear his story. Willow is the business that he is leading now, has a partner in the business. When we return, you're listening to At Home with Roby.
Welcome back to At Home with Roby. I'm Patrick McIsaac from Roby Commercial and Services. I'm a trainer for the Roby family of companies. We are your hosts.
Yeehaw!
If you missed the first segment, we predicted Duke and UNC in the championship game, which will be tomorrow. Trent did. I think I said UNC and Purdue.
I wonder if it is Duke and UNC. Will Mike Krzyzewski come out of retirement to coach to just try to win that one game that he couldn't win?
I knew where you're going with that. Well, if you missed the first segment, you can go fact check us on our picks. You can hit that on Facebook, LinkedIn, Instagram, and anywhere you can find podcasts.
Yeah. Hey, Danny.
Hey, what's up, guys?
How you doing, buddy?
I'm doing well. Thanks for having me.
Willow Dumpsters.
Yes, sir. You said Willow. Plural? That's fine.
Plural or singular?
Plural.
They got more than one, that means.
Yeah, we got more than one.
You in the game.
Yeah.
And so, Danny, I mean, I'm sure you get this all the time. I LinkedIn stalked you. I just showed you those, so it's all right. Your last name is Goldrick, and you went to University of Notre Dame. So just gold everywhere, huh? Are your dumpsters gold?
No, they're not. They're not. They're actually, funny story, they're blue.
Blue, okay.
But they're about halfway between UNC blue and Duke blue. So
smart.
Making sure that we don't have any enemies.
Which way do you lean?
What's this, like 48, 52, 56, 34? What are we talking about here?
You know, I have not inspected the colors quite that specifically. But yeah, we were pretty intentional about that, or Reed was pretty intentional about that, who I'll tell you more about along the way here.
Yeah.
But yeah, plenty of dumpsters running around the city at any one time.
So I do like one of the lines Michael Jordan said a long time ago. He said both Democrats and Republicans buy tennis shoes. So
that's right.
He's going to leave it at that.
That's right. Blue Devils and Tar Heels buy dumpsters.
I heard
for sure.
That.
We've had some conversations around that before today.
Yeah. We are definitely agnostic. My father always said, don't get in a religious conversation or a political conversation.
That'd be great if we could avoid those two
stuff
today.
You keep in your pocket and at the dinner table with your family if you want to. We try not to do that.
Rule
too
one on the At Home with the Roby show is not that.
Yeah,
so you're safe.
Perfect.
Now tell it. I'm just joking.
He's like, uh-oh.
Yeah, look at his face. He's like, yeah. This is going nowhere.
Well, Danny, you had mentioned that you grew up in Chicago earlier. Yeah. Tell us a little bit about that. What part?
Yeah, so I grew up in the south side of the city, so I had a Chicago address. Most other people, when you say that, they give you some
Arlington
suburb.
Heights or somewhere, yeah.
Yeah, you never heard of. So I grew up in the south side, a little Irish neighborhood. Yeah, big family up there, still up there. My folks, we were just talking about this at the break.
Yeah.
Still in the same house we grew up in. My brother's down the street. I'm the black sheep who moved down here.
So you went, we already talked about you going to Notre Dame, so you went from Chicago to Notre Dame directly to Charlotte?
Yeah, so I had the privilege while I was at Notre Dame to study abroad in London for a semester.
Very cool. Yeah.
And this will make sense here in a second, but my next door neighbor is now my wife during that study abroad series. So she went to Notre Dame with me as well, grew up here in Charlotte. And so after school, I did a few years of kind of corporate work in the banking space up in Chicago and eventually kind of got to my senses and chased her down here to Charlotte.
She was going to stay around Charlotte.
Yeah, she was smart. She didn't want to stick up there with the snow and the ice and all the ugly weather during the winter months. And she was in grad school up in Chapel Hill, actually, for the first few years out of school.
Oh, okay.
And so we reconnected down here. Yeah, yeah. I got some heels in the background as well.
How long? What year did you move to Charlotte?
2013, June of 2013.
Okay.
Yeah.
And what occupation? When you came down here?
So my background is, like I mentioned, in the banking side. I actually worked for B of A out of school. So kind
saw
of a local,
that on your LinkedIn page there, yeah.
Local name. You got to stop stalking me.
Yeah,
man.
I'm going to be in trouble for the rest of this interview.
Yeah, you had different hair back then.
Yeah, there was my son just told me that my hair migrated southward a couple of days ago. So that was really nice of him along the way. But did banking for the first few years out of school.
Cool.
You know, came down here, kind of figured I could always get back in that industry. Plenty of those jobs around here. And searched best places to work in Charlotte. Was fortunate to have, a great interview with Red Ventures and some people at the time who had similar backgrounds like myself and kind of took a leap of faith and joined the company. Didn't even know what it did when I first accepted the offer, but it wasn't banking and it was something different and it felt more entrepreneurial. And so said yes, and it was one of the best decisions I made in my career.
And how long were you with Red Ventures?
So I stayed around with Red Ventures for about 10 years in various roles. So started as just a business analyst, strategic business analyst was, I think, my title 10 years ago, which really just meant, you know, you're at the bottom of the totem pole and you're going to do a bunch of work. did a bunch of different jobs early on. Actually worked with our sales teams inside the company for the first few years and then led various teams on the marketing and kind of multidisciplinary side in the last 5 years that I was there.
So you really rode, I mean, you were there when the wave, you rode that monster growth that y'all experienced.
Yeah, it was a terrific time to be at Red Ventures. The mantra and the speed at which we were doing things was better than a lot of the competition out there. Great place to learn some kind of hard skill sets, technical skill sets on the marketing and finance side. Really, a lot of those peers are the same people that I turn to today for advice and, thoughts as we're growing Willow and other opportunities that I look at.
So when did you transition from Red Ventures into the entrepreneurial side on your own? What year was that?
Yeah, it was last year.
Last year. Okay.
Yeah. So I was there for 10 years.
Yeah. I'm doing the math now.
Yeah. Yeah. So it was 2023. We had moved back to Charlotte from Texas. We did a couple year stint in Texas.
Okay.
My wife's job took us to San Antonio for 3 years, which was fun. It was a nice little.
And you were still able to work for Red Ventures there.
Yeah. It was an abnormal path at the time in 2019 when we moved. There weren't a lot of people working remotely, but then everybody kind of had to catch up to me 8 months later when COVID happened. So I just got a head start on everybody
else.
Isn't
that crazy?
Yeah. I mean, you talk about, you know, getting lucky at the right place, right time. I'd built a nice relationship with some of the senior leaders at RV. They were nice enough to say, hey, if you're willing to make it work, we'll make it work with you. And then everybody was trying to make it work March of 2020.
We met through a mutual friend who mm-hmm. has invested alongside us and was one of your peers at Red Ventures, mm-hmm. Steve Handel. I just texted Christian to get him lined up for the radio.
Yeah, that's cool. Okay.
So shame on me. But, hey, Steve, but when we met, you were talking about, you know, you've joined the founder of Willow
yep.
Dumpsters, and now you're an entrepreneur. You're hitting the streets. You're meeting people, which was very impressive. But I will say I took back to our team. I gleaned from you very – Red Ventures, I said, number one, businesses like that are what makes Charlotte
yeah.
so valuable
yep.
to who we are
good point.
And to – the entrepreneurial vibe because the culture there is so entrepreneurial. But you talked a little bit when we had coffee about how, the compensation was everybody's in this together.
Mm-hmm.
And it ebbed and flowed because, you know, you did as good as the company did or you did as bad as the company did.
Yeah, yeah. I was what I was hitting on there when we were catching up, Trent, is that, it was organized into five or six business units and those kind of meandered and flexed over time while I was there. But it was very much we would come together on a really regular cadence to talk about different growth vectors, different pockets of the business where we were struggling, and the idea was you could lean on one another kind of across lines of business in order to get the best outcome for kind of the sum of the parts, right? And that was very much at the core of Rick's culture, you know, dating back as long as I was there, was much more, hey, it's, you know, whatever that cliche is, it's the name on the front more than the name on the back type of stuff. That was, you know, what we kind of lived and breathed day in,
love
day out.
That. Yeah.
I've never heard that. It's the name on the front more than the name on the back.
Yeah. That's from some sports movie.
Yeah,
I'm not sure which one. But
I like that.
Well, it was good that you brought it up. It makes complete sense. I think that's a great business lesson, too. There's no ego in business at all, right? You're all about the team. I mean, that's really, really it.
Yeah, and honestly, that's some of my most fond memories of my time at RV was, you know, building teams, helping develop young folks out of school. We hired anywhere between 50 and 75 kids from local schools here in the Southeast, and you got to take them from, you know, a fresh grad to something a little bit more hardened and ready to tackle the real world over the first few years.
Danny Goldrick, when we return, talking about his venture partnership, Willow Dumpsters, on the At Home with Roby Show.
Welcome back to At Home with Roby. I'm Patrick McIsaac from Roby Commercial and Services, along with Trent Haston from the Roby family of companies. We are your hosts. We are with Danny Goldrick. If you missed the last couple of segments, go back. You can find us anywhere podcasts are fine, or go to Instagram, Facebook, LinkedIn. Trent, we everywhere.
We are on the social side.
Well, yeah. We're in the studio right now.
Old school.
Everywhere. But Danny's got a pretty cool
story. What do you
think about
it? I told you, my man's on fire.
It's about the name on the front, not the name on the back.
So tell us, okay, so RV, year ago, transition, you coming back from Texas, kind of time to figure out direction?
Yeah, sure. I'll pick up kind of at the tail end of RV end. Like I said, was very lucky to have some really cool roles at RV. And as you grow in the company, you're kind of leading bigger and bigger teams that look more and more like a company itself, right? And, Rick and the senior leaders over at Red Ventures are setting the direction of Red Ventures, which is awesome. That's what he does. But I got the itch to kind of do it on my own along the way and kind of take the skills that I had learned inside the company and see if I could go build my own version, whatever size and scale that might look like, outside of the company, you know, with my own kind of direction and strategy I play.
Yeah. And so how did you, I'm curious how you landed on trash.
Yeah.
Or dumpsters.
Talking trash.
No, I love that.
It's at the end of the day, I looked at a lot of companies, you know, there's a lot of models out there that have, you know, people staked to go do their own search for a couple years, and they'll look in a really specific niche on a really specific piece of software. My personal point of view and what I was why I was able to be successful at Red Ventures is because I could kind of understand different business models, different industries, and kind of from there then ultimately decide what the priorities would go along the way. And so I took a really wide net approach to
looking for companies.
Yeah.
Met a lot of folks first in the RV alumni network and then kind of branched out from there. Was fortunate to meet a business broker who introduced me to Reed, my business partner. Reed is a tremendous person. Trent, I think you're giving me a hard time about being young. Reed's 10 years younger than me.
Yeah.
And so, you know, he just has intuition coming out of his ears when it comes to kind of running a business like this that's affecting customers here locally. And we hit it off and figured out a way to start working together.
And didn't you say, you told me, maybe a little foggy when we met, Reed started in the landscaping business, correct?
Yes, yeah. So he's the type of person who was tinkering at a young age. He built a kind of a residential that turned into a commercial landscaping business.
Okay.
And that particular passion of his led to needing dumpsters for those types of projects. And ultimately, I think, you know, he realized that, you know, the services for small business owners like himself from large national names and even some of the regional names left a lot to be desired. And he said, I think I can do it better. And so he did, which I give him just a tremendous amount of props for. Starting from zero in a dumpster business is really challenging. A lot of assets.
So you're looking at all these businesses, no pigeonhole on where to go. And you come, how do you come across Reed?
It was actually a business broker who I had met looking at a different business here in town. I'd gotten through a couple rounds of discussions with that former owner, and it just wasn't the right fit. Needed certain licenses, needed certain, you know, credentials that I didn't have and I couldn't be helpful in. And so I ultimately passed. But that same person, you know, I got to know them through that process, and he must have seen something he liked in me, and he said, you know, you ought to meet Reed. You know, his business is, he's at this point where he needs a partner to help scale this thing. He's got a lot of things in place that I like as a business broker, and I think you'd like as a buyer. And we met, had a couple calls. I rode in the truck for a day with him, and we hit it off.
So can you share the name of the landscaping business?
The landscaping business, I think, was Somloy Landscaping Businesses, which was his name. That's Reed's last name. But I don't know specifically offhand if that was what it was sold as eventually.
Understood. And so, the dumpster business, I mean, that could be all encompassing of a lot of different things, right?
Mm-hmm.
You have the smaller dumpsters you'd see behind an office building up to a 30-yard that you might see on a commercial construction site. Give us, like, the breadth of what all you guys do.
Yeah, we focus on the roll-off side of the business. So you're going to see anywhere from, you know, 15-yarders to 40-yarders. We primarily are 15-yard and 30-yard for commercial job sites.
Yeah, yeah.
Some of that end user is residential, right? Remodelers or general contractors like yourselves, right? You'll be working on a homeowner's house and might need a dumpster if it's a big enough job. That's the business we focus on. As opposed to, you know, front load businesses or side load residential trash businesses. Those aren't areas that we spend any time or energy or have any assets, quite frankly.
Well, no, I mean, you were talking about the moat to get into this business with the equipment and the inventory. And I mean, I'm sure these enclosures aren't cheap. So kind of tell us about that. I mean, what's your inventory look like? What client base are you, said general contractors? Are there any other industries that you're trying to attract?
Yeah, general contractors, restoration companies, home flippers, anybody who's doing kind of a heavy amount of, you know, construction and demolition type work, ideally on the commercial side, but we do have residential customers who trickle in as well.
The morning we met, our good buddy Walter Bridgman with Remetics, I hooked them up. So that's the type of company. I mean,
yeah, absolutely.
Build these relationships.
Walter, absolutely, some Walter, free advertising for Walter.
He called me like an hour ago. That's the maybe he knew you were coming on the show.
He texted me earlier as well.
Yeah, I stopped by their office about a month ago, and you know, I owe him a follow up call. So he's exactly the type of person, those types of businesses. You know, anybody else who's got a crane in the sky would be a great project or prospect for us. And we're working on getting in touch with a lot of those folks.
Well, I'm very impressed with how you said, hey, I'm going to go out, I'm going to go have coffee, I'm going to go do this, I'm going to meet people, I'm going to hit the streets. You can't do it. Your shirt is so bright.
It's commercial construction, man. I mean, that's it.
And you said, hey, if I'm going to do it, I'm going to do it. And we completely agree with that philosophy. I'll tell you, thinking about that, you wouldn't realize that all these folks that are sales folks in business and trade businesses and entrepreneur or whatever, work in a business, it's just that extra effort goes so far and gives you a leg up. So that's impressive. What geography do you
like? Yeah, good question.
Yeah, so our yards are just north of the city, and so pretty much anywhere in Charlotte Metro, you know, plus 20 miles around the middle of uptown is fair game. We go as far north as Statesville just because it's on the same side of our side of the town. So it's pretty wide ranging. I mean, and if we have a customer who's been good to us, we try to be good to them in return and kind of stretch those limits as we see fit.
Well, we will need to set you up with our Roby Commercial General Contracting team. Come in and have a talk with those guys. We'd love to work with you if we could make it work. But that's really cool. I'm with Trent. I mean, you're putting it out there. I mean, I think what'd you say in the lobby there? You're going to go all in or nothing? I know you had another.
Yeah, I mean, I'm full of cliches. I was a caddy as a kid, so.
I did too.
I heard every single one of them on the golf course, and, you know, you pick up some of them along the way. But, you know, if you're going to go this far, you might as well go all in on it, right? And ultimately, my goal is to be as successful as we possibly can here, earn ourselves a shot at being something even bigger than we are today. And, you know, that only comes through hard work and a little bit of strategy along the way.
Well, tell me a little bit about being a caddy. Are you a good golfer?
Okay. You know, I'm probably about a 10 handicap.
Okay.
So
That's pretty good.
I'm no,
it's better than us.
I'm not a, you know, a stick, but I'm also not, you know, out there only drinking beers.
Well, I was not a caddy, but I do revere folks like you and Patrick that were caddies. I think that's like the best life lesson.
Oh, it's so awesome.
If I didn't have to make a dollar in my life, yep, and you could do whatever you want, it's about as good as gig as you can get. I mean, you're out in the sun, you're listening to interesting stories from interesting people.
Where'd you caddy? So
it was pretty common up in Chicago area, right? So they were pretty much at every club. The club I caddied at was Ridge Country Club, but we were surrounded by 10 other clubs you could have caddied as well.
That's cool.
Well, cool. Well, we're going to go pay some bills. You stick around for the last segment with us?
Yeah.
Yeah.
I think I'll do that.
Talk. Man, what a fun conversation. Danny Goldrick, when we return, Willow Dumpsters at Home with Roby.
Welcome back to At Home with Roby. I'm Patrick McIsaac from Roby Commercial and Services, along with Trent Hazel from the Roby family of companies. We are your hosts. If you missed the last couple of segments, go back, check it out. We got Danny Goldrick, entrepreneur with Willow Dumpsters, hailing from Chicago through Notre Dame down to Charlotte with a little stop off in San Antonio, Trent.
Yeah, that was after he was in Charlotte for a while.
He took a little three year hiatus from the
Queen City.
I also
thought it was cool that RV allowed him, was creative. It wasn't in their normal playbook to go somewhere else, but they valued you so much, so they stretched, they tried something new.
Yeah, I mean, I don't always love when people are saying you valued you so much. I think it was a nice little relationship we have where I was working hard for them. And Rick and my boss, Sarah, at the time, you know, we didn't really have a playbook for that, like you mentioned. I had effectively resigned, not quite, but I basically said I'm moving to San Antonio in whatever, you know, month and date. And so, you know, it's been a great run for 6 years, and they were said, what, right? And so then that just kicked off some conversations on if it was possible, right? I had a team of a little under 100 people here back in Charlotte, and so the real kind of game of Jenga from there was, how many times can you come back, you know? How do we facilitate video conferencing in a way that we haven't done before? Those types of things. And ultimately, it sounds more complicated than it was. It was just kind of raise your hand and say, yeah, I'm going to do it. I'm going to figure it out. And I think that's kind of what Rick told me to do. And you know, that's what I did. I figured it out.
Well, congratulations. And then COVID happened and everybody was remote. Dude. People started moving away from their office. Now that's caused a little grief, I think.
Wow. Yeah, for sure.
What you just said is entrepreneurialism 101. Just figure it out. I mean, that's what we talk about all the time. Like, we don't know what the answer is right now, but we're going to figure it out.
Yeah, I think something that I wish I had more of was vision, like to see 3, 4, 5 years out. That's not something that's kind of ingrained in who I am or my DNA. What I am good at, or I have a lot of practice at, is taking everything that's sitting in front of me and saying, okay, these 5 paths don't make sense. These 3 don't make sense. there's three left. Let's pick one and hopefully fail at it quickly so that we can get back on the right path.
Yeah, I'm real big about making quick picks. I think that's very valuable as a business person and a business leader.
So you had like McNeese State in the national championship or something, right? Yeah. You just pick them as quickly as possible. 13
Man,
seed versus
yeah,
somebody
they're definitely
else.
They're definitely the perennial national.
McNeese yeah, that's right. State. That's right. You just
only
fall in love
like
with them real quick.
With no McNeese State. Well, what are your growth plans, you and Reed. At Willow? Dumpsters.
Yeah, I mean the first and most simple thing we did once we partnered up was try to go figure out a way to kind of increase capacity. I mean, one of the things I loved about talking with him is that he had all these ideas from a customer perspective, and customers were pulling, you know, at his kind of shirt strings or whatever. And you know, what was stressing him out was he didn't have enough equipment to go service all the people that he wanted to work with. And so that's the lion's share of what we've done for the last 3-4 months was just try to get ahead of that, ahead of what is typically a stronger part of the year. And from here on out, it's trying to go hit the streets, talk to people like yourselves, talk to other folks who might be starting big projects in the coming months, and then kind of rinse, repeat on that side of the business. If we do that well, and I kind of alluded to this earlier, that gives us the right to go, you know, move into another kind of lane next door, whether that's restrooms or some other site services work, or service the same end customer in a different way.
Vertically integrate
that right.
client.
Yeah, yeah.
Yeah, I mean, you had quite the story. I walked away with my head spinning when we had coffee. You guys have been on quite the journey at Roby, it sounds like, and I'm sure I could learn plenty from you guys.
Well, what you do for a construction site is so vital. It's not, I mean, it's something that it's not the biggest line item on the schedule of values. Yep. But I mean, if the dumpster's overflowing and it's not being properly maintained, it could make the whole job site and really the reputation of the general contractor and subcontractor, it's not good. And so it's so vitally important that you know, it's a service business. And so I don't think it's one item probably on the commercial construction side that's not bought on price.
Yeah, I mean, we're both, but we also understand that on our end from our experience working with folks. And I would say we also are really mindful of not kind of over-promising and under-delivering, right? If you have anywhere from a few people on site who are stuck because they can't kind of keep doing their job to hundreds of people, depending on the scale of the project, that can get really expensive for customers, and that's an easy way to get kicked off a job site. So
it's messy.
You got to make sure, and that's kind of why our focus has been what it's been, Trent, in terms of making sure that you have enough dumpsters where you're not robbing Peter to pay Paul and trying to pick who your favorite customer is versus servicing everybody at a high clip.
How many different size dumpsters do you have? You might have said that earlier.
We have four today, four different sizes. So it's 15s, 20s, 30s, and 40s. We try to steer people to 15s, 20s, and 30s just because that's the most common sizes for people. And I think oftentimes people don't realize how big
a 40-yard dumpster is humongous.
Yeah, I don't think most folks realize what they're ordering. They just, you know, classic, you know, America. Ego. Give me the biggest.
Well, you get
one.
10 more yards for not much more money.
Yeah,
create some hassle. Yeah. Right? Well, Danny, this is such a great story. Godspeed to you and your business. How can people look you up?
Yeah, willowdumpsters.com is our website, and 704-960-3188. Call or text us to schedule anytime.
Yeah, that's awesome.
Hey, thanks for listening to At Home with Roby. Thanks for being here, Danny. Good luck to you and Reed and Willow Dumpsters. Listen, go do the golden rule today. Treat others the way you want to be treated and carry a smile around on your face.